Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chaf Hei in Avodah Zarah. We start at the very top of the Amud. Okay. First half of today's Gemara is going to be Agadato, and then the second half of today is going to be Halacha. Okay. Nice division of the daf. The Pasuk Yehoshua in Perek Yud describes a miracle that takes place on behalf of Yehoshua. Notably, that the sun stood still. And Yehoshua needed to wage a battle, and he needed to decimate the enemies, and he just needed some more time. Right? Sometimes that's just all we need is just a little more time. But of course, for us, time is a constant, and time just moves. But Yehoshua was afforded more time. The pasuk says, "Vayidom Hashemesh, vayareach amad ad yikom goy oivav." So the Torah describes, the Navi describes, how the sun stood still, the moon stood still, until he was able to obliterate all of his enemies. Halohi ksuva al Sefer HaYasher, and then it goes on to describe, you know, this was forecasted in Sefer HaYasher. So my Sefer HaYasher, so the Gemara here asks, what Sefer HaYasher? The Nitziv, in his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, so he popularized this Gemara. This Gemara is going to refer to Sefer Bereishis as Sefer HaYasher, and the Nitziv, who writes an introduction to every one of the Chumashim, so he hits on this Gemara. So this Gemara is even more popular because of the Nitziv. So my Sefer Yashar, so I'm Rav Chia Barava, I'm Rav Yochanan, Zeh Sefer Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Shenikru Yisharim. It's referring to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, who are considered the Yisharim, they're straight. Shenema Tamus Nafshi Mos Yisharim. It says by Balak, or Bilam says it, that I want to die the death of the Yisharim, and he's referring to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, what we're saying now is that when the sun stood still for Yehoshua, it was forecasted in Sefer Bereishis. That's Sefer HaYashar. Now all we have to do is just figure out where in Sefer Bereishis was it forecasted that the sun would stand still. Bizarro Yom Eloh HaGayim. So we look at the bracha that was given by Yaakov to his children, over here specifically to Ephraim. So the pasuk says, "Vizaro yem aloha goyim, emaso yem aloha goyim, v'shasham dolocham li Yehoshua." When are all the nations going to be like, "Wow, that's amazing"? Meaning that when Bnei Yisrael came into Israel, so Israel was scared. But once you had an astronomical event like the sun standing still, like the moon standing still, like they're just not they're not going in their orbit. So then, Maloha Goyim, all the nations became afraid. The Gemara now goes into detail over here, great detail about the nace of the sun standing still for Yehoshua. Vayamod Hashemesh bechatzi Hashemayim, v'lo atz lavo ki yom tamim. The pasuk describes that the sun stood still bechatzi Hashemayim, halfway through the heaven. V'lo atz lavo, and it didn't run to set kiyom tamim like a day. Okay, so the pasuk is not specific; it's a little bit vague, and it will give us some sense of how long the sun stood still for Yehoshua. V'kama, so how long did it stand still? So Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi Esrimvar Bashai. So it was a 24-hour day. Normally days are 12 hours. We're just talking about the daytime. We're not talking about the nighttime. So regular daytime hour is 12 hours. There's Shalos, Manios, whatever. It doesn't matter over here. That's not the significant point. In other words, normally, let's call it a perfect day. From 6 to 6 is 12 hours. So that particular day for Yehoshua, it stood for 24 hours. Ezrim Varbar Shai, Azal Shis, so the Gemara now is going to go through, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, what was the Seder Hayom? What was the schedule for that day? So from 6 a.m. to 12, midday, okay, that's the regular course of the sun. Kamshis stood there for 6 hours. Azal Shis, and it went another 6 hours right before setting. The Kamshis, and then it stood there for another 6 hours. Kulamilsa kiyom tamim, and then in totality it's 24 hours. Now if you look back at the pasuk, you'll see, right, what's going on, right? Rising, midday, stop. Setting, stop, and then it goes down. So if you look back at the pasuk, it's clear in the pasuk that there was a two-step phase. Let's read the pasuk again. The pasuk is at the, no, it's not at the top. It's just a couple lines above. Vayamod Hashemesh bechatzi Hashemayim. Stop. Right? So you see, right when it gets to Chatzia Shemaim, so there's stoppage over there. And then, Vilo Atzlavo Kiyam Tamim. And it didn't run to set. Right? So it's clear from the Pasuk that there was a first pause in the middle, and then there was a second pause. We're going to get multiple opinions throughout this Gemara over here in terms of how long the pause was. But you see, L'chuleyam, according to everybody, it was rise, midday, stop, setting, before setting, stop. Okay. In other words, that whole second phrase of the pasuk is totally unnecessary. Right? Lo atzlavo ki yam tamim. We didn't need that. The pasuk could have just simply said, v'yamor Hashem shbechatzi ha-shamayim. And that would have been enough. So it's clear. And also the other key to this, to all these opinions which we're going to see, is kiyom tamim. Right? Kiyom tamim tells us it's like a full day. So according to the first opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the totality of hours of the day, 6 times 4, 6 go, 6 stop, 6 go, 6 stop, so that's 24 hours, that's the pshat in the pasuk of kiyom tamim. Fine. Second opinion. According to the first opinion,
yeah.
It's right before sunset,
rose
in the regular 6 hour track.
It's normal by noon.
Noon it stops. At noon it stops.
6 p.m.
It stops for another 6 hours. Just stands there for another 6 hours.
Till 6 p.m.
Right, till 6 p.m. Correct. I would have.
6 p.m.
Then. No, then it goes, travels for another 6 hours from the midday position to the setting position. And then, right, and then at the setting position,
another
6 hours. So, right, and that's Pshat and Kiyom Tamim. Kiyom Tamim means 24 hours of daylight. Opinion number two, Rav Elazar Amar Shlosha V'Shis. He gets to 36, and how he gets there is like this. Azal Shis, so it goes 6 hours from rise to midday. Kam Tresar, then it stops for 12 hours. Azal Shis, it goes another 6 hours from the midday position to the setting position. But before setting, Kam Tresar. And then another 12 hours. Amida So Kiyom Tamid. And for him, the stopping is 24 hours. That's Kiyom Tamim. That's opinion number two. Opinion number three. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Arba'im Ushmona. 48-hour day. Azal Shis, it goes 6. Vikam Tresar, stops for 12 hours. Azal Shis goes another 6. Vikam Esrim Va'arba'a, and then it goes 24. Shenamar, Lo Aslavo Kiyom Tamim. According to this third opinion, the Kiyom Tamim is only going on that last stop. So that last stop, from the setting position to before it set, that's 24 hours. Right? Mechlal Demikar Lav Kiyom Tamim. And it was that second stop, which was 24 hours, which implies that the first stop was less than that, shorter than that. So we don't know, in this third opinion, how much shorter. So I guess somewhere between a full day and nothing, so he got to 12 hours. So it's 6, 12, 6, 24. Okay, which is a total of 48. Igadame. Another version of this machlokus. So we have so far the first version of the machlokus. First version has it as either the totality is 24, the stoppage is 24, or the last stop is 24. Okay? Igadami bitusfa'a pligi. The next version of this whole machlokus is that we are only going to be looking at the actual stopping point. In other words, the numbers recorded are going to be the same numbers, but those numbers reflect not it's going, but it's just it's stopping. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Esim, V'arabah Azel Shiz, V'kam Tresar Azel Shiz, V'kam Tresar Amidaso Kiyom Tamim. Good. Opinion number one is that went for 6, stop 12, and now its stoppage is 24, and that's the Kiyom Tamim. Rav Elazar Amar Shloshim V'Sheish Azel Shiz, V'kam Tresar Azel Shiz, V'kam Esrim V'arabah V'lo Atzlavo Kiyom Tamim. Opinion number two, 6:12, 6:24. And the Kiyom Tamim is talking about the second stoppage, which is Kiyom Tamim. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Arba Ushmonim, 48. Here the 48 is just going on the stoppage. So it's 624. And this third opinion now has it as a hekesh. So just like the stoppage at the end was 24, so too the stoppage in the middle was 24, for a totality of 48 of stoppage. And then you're going to add another 12 hours of actual sun movement. So it's 12 plus 48. 60. Wow. Tana kishim shamdol chamel Yoshua ben kach hamdol chamel Moshe ulaktimon ben Gurion. Gemara continues that this happened three times historically where the sun stopped. Stopped for Yoshua as is indicated clearly in the Pesukim. Also for Moshe. Also for Naktimon ben Gurion. Yoshua cry. Yoshua is a pasuk. Nakdimon ben Gurion Gemara. Now, when the Gemara says Gemara, it doesn't mean look in the Gemara. Gemara, when the Gemara uses that term, it means it's a tradition. We don't have a source. I don't have a pasuk. I don't have. It's just a tradition that the sun stopped for Nakdimon ben Gurion. Who is he? When did the sun stop? What's that going on? So that is a Gemara in Tanis. Rashi over here just tells you where to look. Look in the Gemara in Tanis and Daf Yotesam at base. There the Gemara tells a story, quickly, just go through the story, where it was sometime during the Beit Sheni, during the Second Temple. The Jewish people need to be Ola L'Regel, and there was not water, enough sufficient water in the wells in order to be Ola L'Regel. So what Nakdimon ben Gurion did, he was a wealthy individual, is that he borrowed, it was like a loaner, of the wells from a particular person. The other person was not Jewish?
Gentile.
Yeah? Okay. And he said to him, I will pay you back by such and such a date on the hope, on the expectation that there will be rain, and so that he'll pay back with wells that were filled with water. The day came for payback. The wells were dry, the wells were empty, and the non-Jew took Nakdimon ben Gurion to court, and he said, you didn't pay me back with wells that were filled up. Nakdimon ben Gurion says, yeah, but today's my due date, and I have still some time left today. And right? Just wait. And then the Gemara in Tanis ends up describing is a miracle that takes place where the sun stood still enough time for it to rain. In fact, the Gemara in Tanis over there describes that the miracle was so unbelievable because the guy said to Nakdimon, yeah, I know it started raining, but the day's over. In other words, it's cloudy. And the miracle continued so that the sun then dispersed, and then the sun came out, showing that it was still daytime. And, okay, that's a Gemara, that's a tradition. Moshe. Where do we see in Chumash that the sun stood for Moshe? Minalan Asya Achel Achel. It's a Gzeira Shavah, meaning that there's nowhere in the Torah where it explicitly states it. It's based on the limud of Gzeira Shavah. Ksiv Hachal Achel Teitz Pach Techa, Uksiv Hasam Yeshua Achel Gad Lecha. So we have the common usage of the word Achel. And so just like Yeshua's greatness and awe was shown to the other nations, same thing is true by Moshe. Rav Yochanan Amar Asya Teis Ksiv Hacha Achel Teis Pach Techa Ksiv Yoshua B'Yom Teis Hashem Es HaAmari. He bases it on another Gzeir Shava. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Migufa Dekra Hashem Aslay. I don't need a Gzeir Shava. I can show you just from the Pesukim themselves. Asher Yishmaun Shamacha V'Ragzu V'Chelu Mi Panecha. They will hear your name, and they will shake, and they will shudder from you. When the sun stood still for Moshe. Specifically, when did this happen? So far, it's really not clear. Meaning that there's some historical time that stood still for Moshe, but from the Pesukim and the Gzeir Shava, there really is not yet clarity when this happened for Moshe. The Gemara points out, if you read the Pesukim in Yoshua, it's kind of clear from those Pesukim that this never happened. That this was a singular event in history where the sun stood still for Yoshua, and obviously it was miraculous, but the miracle never occurred or never recurred. So the Gemara is bothered. So Ibaisema Shosud Lo Havanef Fishkulahai. So one answer says the Gemara is not as long. For Yoshua, it stood for, and we have our range, somewhere between 24 to 48 hours. Okay? So, and not like that for anybody else. You know, for Moshe a little bit, for Nakdimim a little bit, but not the length of Yehoshua. That's what makes Yehoshua unique. Ibaithema, Avnei Barad, Lohavu. Also, another feature by Yehoshua, which was not experienced by anyone else, is the hail. The hailstones that descended from the heaven. Yisrael, Haim b'morad beis charon, v'Hashem ishlich aleim avanim gedolos min hashamayim ad azeka v'yamusu. Okay? Hailstones came out from heaven. So we may have had some stoppage for others, Nakdimim, Ben Gurion, and Moshe, and it may even have been as long, but it wasn't accompanied by hailstorm. Ksiv ayomer lamed b'nei Yehuda keshes hineksuva al sefer hayashar. Okay, the Gemara now is in a free flow, in free association. Right, so we talked about the Sefer HaYashar. So the Gemara now is going to cite other Divrei Agadata that deal with this terminology of Sefer HaYashar. So the Pasuk in Shmuel says, I'm going to teach B'nai Yehuda Keshes, I'm going to teach them how to be archers. And it's written in Sefer HaYashar. So, archery is assigned to the tribe of Yehuda. And you could see this in Sefer Bereishis. So again, if you go over your Sefer Bereishis, where in Sefer Bereishis do you see that Shevet Yehuda were the archers? Where did that come from? My Sefer Yashar, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Sefer Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Shenikru Yisharim, Tichsibu Tamus Nafshi Mos Yisharim, V'tihi Achariso Kamohu. So first we're going to go back to the Pasuk in Balak and Bilam, that Sefer Yisharim refers to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. V'heicharim Miza, but now let's go back how do I know Shevet Yehuda are the archers? So the Gemara is going to bring a couple of psukim. Yehuda ata yoducha achecha, yadcha b'oref oivecha. Your hand will be on the back of the neck of your enemy. Ezu mechama shetzricha yad keneged oref. Now, what kind of warfare does your hand go to the back of your neck? So it's the archer, right? I guess the visual, when you bring it back, so your hand is going to be right to the back of your neck. That's one possibility. Harizekeshes. Rav Elazar Omer, ze Sefer Mishnah Torah. Another opinion in terms of what Sefer Yashar is Mishnah Torah. V'amai Karali Sefer. Mishnah Torah, by the way, is Devarim. Right? That's Sefer, that's Mishnah Torah. For the simple reason that the Sefer Devarim is repetitive in nature in terms of what was said. It's a review of what was said in the first four chumashim. In Sefer Devarim it writes, you will do Hayashar V'Hatov. Right? A good part of Sefer Devarim is Musar. Moshe giving Musar to the Jewish people. So it's called Sefer Hayashar. You should be right. And again, where in Sefer Devarim do we see that Shevet Yehuda is in fact archers? Yadav Rav Lo. So we go to the bracha that was given to Yehuda. Yadav Rav Lo, his hands are great. What kind of warfare do you need two hands? That's the archer. The archer, you can't be an archer with one hand, you need two hands. A sword you can hold with one hand. A gun, which of course is anachronistic. You only need one hand, but the archer needs two hands. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman Amar says Sefer Shoftim. Okay, this one's interesting. Shoftim is Sefer Hayashar, right? Bereishis is Sefer Hayashar because of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Dvarim is Sefer Hayashar v'Asisa es Hayashar v'Atov. Shoftim is Sefer Hayashar. You think it's about Sefer Shoftim, you don't typically think of Sefer Hayashar. There's a lot of Avodah Zarah going on in Sefer Shoftim. That they keep going back to it. It's interesting that is Sefer. And look at the pasuk the Gemara quotes. V'amai karelei Sefer Hayashar, d'chsiv b'yamei ma'heim ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar b'inav ya'aseh. I don't know, the sense you get from that pasuk is everybody does whatever they want. It's not, right? That's a simple pshat on the pasuk. It's, right, in the outside of this Gemara, that's what we would have said, in the context of this Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara, it's praiseworthy, okay, which is not necessarily Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Hecharim Miza, and now where in Sefer Shoftim do I see that Shevet Yehuda are the archers? Laman das daros bnei Yisrael lamda mechama ve'ezim mechama shetzricha limud. What kind of warfare requires learning and expertise and precision? And Haviyamar ze keshes. Again, that's archery. Uminalan de Yehuda k'siv. Now that pasuk, how do I know that that pasuk is dealing with Yehuda? Dechsiv mi alalanu ela knani lehilachem bo. Vayomer Hashem Yehuda ya'ale. Okay, so it's an indication that it is Yehuda. Vayarim hatavach es shok v'ha'aliyah v'yaseim lifnei Shaul. Okay, a little more agadata for this morning. The tabach, the butcher, takes out the shok, one of the legs of the animal, and puts it in front of Shaul. Shmuel is about to inaugurate Shaul as the king, and in doing so, he serves him a major piece of meat. Right? How else are you going to be inaugurated as a king? He had a barbecue, and he gave him shok v'ha'aleha, the shok and that which is on it, and he placed in front of Shaul. So my v'ha'aleha, what is that referring to specifically? Rav Yochanan amar shok v'alya. So Rav Yochanan says it's the thigh and it's the tail. Tails, the delicious part of the animal. It's fatty. My v'aha aleha demismecha shok la'alaha. They're close to one another. They're proximity to one another. The back leg and the tail. Rabbi Elazar amar shok v'chazei. He says that it's the thigh and the chest of the animal. So the ribs of the animal. My v'aleha demachis la'alachaze ilave de shok kibay anufe. There's a mitzvah of tenufa, there's a mitzvah of waving, and in certain circumstances when you do this mitzvah of tenufa, so you hold the shok together with the chazeh. Chazeh v'shok, right? And those are held together, and that's what is meant to ve'aleha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani amar shok v'shufi. Shok, and the shufi is some sort of joint, right? The kaf hayerach, says Rashi. Because this joint is right over the shok. Okay, good. That ends our Gadata portion of the day, and the remainder of today is going to be halacha. Lo tisyachid isha imahen. Okay, our mission that we did, that we started a couple days ago already, gave us some very. I'm sorry, we're still back to the first Mishnah of the second parak. Gave us some very basic rules regarding us and Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The first halacha was stabling our animals, and that we spoke about now for 3 days. And we have left that topic. And I'm kind of grateful. And the second topic is Lo Sisyached Imahem. I'm sorry, Lo Sisyached Isha Imahem Imnesha Chashunin Ala Arayetz. The Mishnah says that a woman cannot seclude herself with a Ovid Avodah Zarah because of Arayetz. Okay, this question should have bothered everyone here, I'm sure it did. And that is, what do you mean? This is not a halacha limited to a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. This is a halacha that applies to a Jewish woman and a Jewish man. Right? This is called the halacha of Yichud. Right? And so Yichud is prohibited between a Jewish woman and a Jewish man. Hard to imagine that there'd be any difference between a Jewish woman and a Jewish man and a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. And yet the Mishnah makes it sound like, oh, she shouldn't seclude herself with a non-Jewish man because of Arayus. Right? Presumably it's the same thing.
All the Arayos are Jewish. So all that part is about
Correct, correct.
And you need a separate lima to teach you that you can, assuming that you can still rise and it's Jewish.
Right. Okay, yeah. So, lo sisyachinim isha mehem b'maiskin ani lema b'chad. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're talking about one-on-one, where the Mishnah is telling us that she can't seclude herself with a non-Jewish man. Gabi saw misharei. So, if I took a contrasting case, that wouldn't be permissible by her and a Jewish man. The Hatzanan, the Mishnah Kedushin. Lo yisyachin ish echad im shtei nashim. Can't do it. Can't seclude herself with a Jewish man. Ella betlasa. So the Gemara says, okay. And she can't seclude herself with... right. So it must be that it's three men. Right? So Gabi Yisrael... I'm sorry. Ella betlasa. The Gabi Yisrael beprutz mishari. So the Gemara says, even if it's three Jewish men, There are times in halacha where even that's not acceptable. The Gemara in Kedushin makes the distinction between ksherim and prutzim, meaning that if the men are moral and just refined and dignified, so then she could be alone with three men. The three men are going to take care of one another, entrust one another, caution one another not to do anything inappropriate with her. Right? Two men were afraid that one of them may have to go to the bathroom. Okay, so that's two men is not acceptable, but three men, that's fine. However, the Gemara in Kedushin points out that if the men are prutzim, and we're talking about Jews now, if the men are prutzim, so then also no good, also not acceptable. So again, if I took our Mishnah and tried to say what's the contrast, it doesn't work by Jews, meaning that she can't seclude herself with non-Jewish men, even if it's more than one, even if it's two, even if it's three. And by Jews, that's okay? That's not true. Sometimes by Jews, that's also not okay. Gabi Yisrael brutzim mishari v'hatanan. Aval isha achas misichadim shnei anashim. Right? I'm sorry. Two men are okay. I'm sorry. The other way around. Two women are not okay. All right, whatever. But a woman, the Mishnah Kedushin says that a woman can seclude herself with two men. The Amar of Yehuda Mashmol, but there is a Gemara over there that says Lo Shana Ola B'Ksherim. That's true only if the men are Ksherim. Aval B'Prutzim. But if the men are immoral, and this is talking about Jews, Afilo Asari Namilo. 10 is not going to help. She can't seclude herself with 10 men. In fact, the Gemara Kedushin over there tells a wild story about a woman who faked death, put herself inside of a coffin, allowed herself to be escorted out by 10 men who, under the pretense of burying her, took her outside the city, and not to bury her but to have their way with her, to commit adultery with her. So again, the point of the story is that you see that even if it's multitudes of men, there it was 10 men, nevertheless, if they're prutzim, if they're immoral men, so they will have their way with her. So you see that our Mishnah is somewhat misleading, because it sounds like from our Mishnah that it's because it's a non-Jew, and if I contrasted it with the case of a Jew, it'd be okay. But so far we've seen that one-on-one for sure is not okay under any circumstance. And even one woman onto with more than one man, two men, three men, even 10 men, if they're prutzim, is not acceptable. So there's no contrasting case to the Jew. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah here is confusing, because it sounds like it's because they're not Jewish that's not acceptable, but that's not the issue. Even if they were Jewish, it would be unacceptable. I feel sorry, namilo. I'm sorry. Lo tzricha biishto imo or bekochavim ein ishto mishmarto. Aval Yisrael ishto mishmarto. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'll tell you what the case is. The case is that even if his wife is with him, you see, when there's a Jew and his wife is with him, there's never an isur yichud, right? Because his wife will protect him. Right? In other words, his wife will simply say to him, you got to be out of your mind. Right? I'm not going to allow that. But if it's a non-Jew, says the Gemara, so his wife will not be that protective. And his wife will allow him to commit a rias with this woman. Okay. V'tepegle mishum shfichas damim. All right. So, okay. I'm sorry. So that answers up question number one. Question number one, the most basic question in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah makes it sound like there's an Isser Yichud specifically for a non-Jew. And in the contrasting case with a Jew, it's acceptable, it's permissible. And where do we find that it's permissible by a Jew? So the Gemara says, Ishto Imo. When the wife of the man is there, present. So in the case of a Jew, that's fine. That's a legitimate heter. But if it's the case of a non-Jew, it's not acceptable. Okay? His wife is not going to be as protective. Okay, number two, tepuk lemishim shvichus damim. Right, another basic question. She can't seclude herself with a man, with a non-Jewish man, because of her rias. Okay, what about murder? Now, look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, right after discussing the woman, lo yisachid adam imahem mimesha chashirim ashvichus damim. A Jewish man cannot seclude himself with an oved avodah zara, because there's a good chance of Sheikhos Damim. Okay. What happened to the woman? That concern isn't true by the woman as well? Meaning, we could say that by the woman, there are two issues. One issue is Arayos, and the second issue is Shvichos Damim. But the Mishnah only presents Shvichos Damim as an issue when it gets to the third case, the case of the man. It sounds like by the woman, there's no concern whatsoever of Shvichos Damim. And the Gemara says, I don't understand that. Amar of Yirmiyah, Mishmi'isha Chashuva Askinan, Demirsasa Mina. So the Gemara is going to give one of two answers. First, the Rav Yirmiyah answer. Rav Yirmiyah says we're talking about an Isha Chashuva. Isha Chashuva, she is a prominent woman. And because, I'll read the Rashi in just a moment. Let's just go through the Pshuto Shel Gemara, and we'll go to Rashi. She's a prominent woman, consequently, Demirsasa Mina. He won't kill her. He may have his way with her, but he won't kill her. Rav Idi Amar Isha Kleizaina Allah. And Rav Idi says, no, a woman is Kleizaina Allah. Literally, that means she's armed. Okay? My Beinayu. And the Gemara says, and the difference between them.
What does that mean?
Wait, hold on. I know. Wait.
She can't say this.
Wait. My Beinayu, Ika Beinayu, Isha Chashuva Bein Hanashim, Visha'ina Chashuva Bein Hanashim. A woman who is prominent amongst men, but not prominent with women, and that's the nafka mina between Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Idi. Okay, this is going to be difficult, but we'll work our way through this. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Idi. I'm just going to finish up the Gemara, and then we're going to go first through Rashi. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Idi Baravin Haisha Avapisha Shalom Ima. A woman, even though she has peace, Lo Sis Yachini Mahemin Meisha Chashunin Al Arayos. So she won't get killed, but there's going to be a problem that she'll be violated. She'll be sexually violated. Okay, this is, first let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi tries to make sense of all these Gemaras. The opinion, here's what we need to do. It's very simple. Although, how to get there is not going to be that simple, but here's what we need to do. I need to explain what Rav Yirmiyah is saying, Isha Chashuva. We need to explain what Rav Idi is saying, Kli Zayin Alaha. And then we need to explain the Nafka Mina. That's all. Right? A walk in the park. Rashi. Isha Chashuva. Rashi writes the following. Bein ha'anashim u'bein ha'anashim. When the Gemara first suggests, according to Rav Yirmiyah, that we're talking about Isha Chashuva, we're talking about a woman who is prominent for both men and women. Rashi writes, what does that mean? Isha yafeh u'krova l'machus. So Rashi writes, she's beautiful, and she's krova l'machus. And she has political pull. Right? So, as far as her political influence is concerned, the Oved of Avodah Zarah will not kill her. Will not. Because he knows that he will have repercussions if he kills her. However, because she's beautiful and she'll be alluring, so therefore he's going to have a temptation to her and he's going to want to assault her. So, and rape her.
It's not assault. It means
that
she'll be a woman.
Right, okay, so, right.
That's why she
will
use the
Kulizayim. Oh, wait, all right. Shema Tispata, Ava Isha, Sheina Chashuva Bein Ha'anashim, however, if let's say we were to take away her political prominence, right, let's say now she's beautiful and she's got no political clout. So then he will have relations with her and he'll kill her. Because this first position, this Rav Yirmiyah position, Kli Zayna Allah, she's armed, which we haven't explained yet, but he's not into that. So in other words, for him, what will inhibit him from killing her is her political clout. And then v'chashuva bein hanashim v'lo bein hanashim u'teres liyisyached u'mishumah raif leka de'ena yafeh. And then unbelievably Rashi writes, according to Rav Yirmiyah, well, let's say she's not beautiful. Let's say she's unattractive. Right? And I handled that very well. I pat myself on the back. Let's say she's unattractive. So according to Rav Yirmiyah, and let's add to that she has political clout. she's fine. She can seclude herself with the Ovid Avodah Zarah because she's prominent, so that means that she doesn't have to worry about being killed, and if she's unattractive, she doesn't have to worry about being violated. Okay. Wait. I know where we're going to go with this Rashi, but let me just present Rashi first, and then we'll go to the obvious place. Right? but first, let me present. Okay? That is Rashi's understanding of Rav Yirmiyah. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Right? For the first time ever, I think, in Gemara, we've started making a delineation between an attractive woman and an unattractive woman. And if she's an attractive woman, so then she has to worry about being violated. And if she's unattractive, so she's good. Okay. It's really amazing. Okay? This is not my editorial on Rashi. We will get later on this morning to Tosfos, who has a very strong objection to the way Rashi presents his Gemara. Then let's go to the next position. So that's Rav Yirmiyah. Now let's go to Rav Idi. Rav Idi is the second explanation of why we're not worried about Shichas Damim. Isha Klei Zayin Allah Rashi. Afagav de'in Chashuv Alo Bein Hanashim Alo Bein Hanashim Ein Horeg Asa. She's never at risk to be murdered. Ela Ba'alaha V'kevin Shaba'ala Ein Harga. Because his interest with her is only relations. That's his sole interest in her. And so therefore, he's never interested in killing her. Because he's only interested in having relations with her, she is never at risk of being murdered. That's why the Mishnah writes regarding a woman, our concern for the woman is only arayus, not shvichas damim. Okay, now according to Rashi, let's hit the nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Next Rashi. My beinayu, bein l'Rav Yirmiyah demukla beisha chashuva halav chashuva chayshin shvichas damim. Bein l'Rav Idi damar kli zayin alav aleka mishum shvichas damim. Mikom makom mishum erva ikaba mishum erva ikaba v'lo mitzayacheres ika beinayu. So what's the difference? Rashi writes isha chashuva bein ha'anashim. Rashi translates. What does that mean? Krova l'malchus. She has political clout, ve'ina chashuva bein hanashim, but she has no prominence amongst the women. What does that mean, says Rashi? Eina yafa. She's not beautiful. Okay? Which, again, according to Rashi, is just an amazing piece of Gemara. Right? Her lack of beauty makes her not prominent amongst women. Now, how does this nafkamina work? L'Rav Yirmiyah demuki la bi'isha chashuva demashma chashuva bein hanashim bein hanashim dekrov la malchus hivalo kadlila av mishum arayus ika la mechash diyafahi. If she's beautiful, that's isha chashuva. Isha chashuva, we're going to assume, means she's everything. She's got political clout, she's got beauty, she's got everything. So that woman, according to Rav Yirmiyah, does not have to worry about being killed. But she does have to worry about being violated. Hacha chashuva, I'm sorry, diyafehi. Hacha chashuva bein anashim v'lo bein anashim sharya le'yachuda. But that means then that if she has political clout and she's unattractive, according to Rav Yirmiyah, she's good. She could seclude herself with a non-Jew. Dimishum shvichas damim leka daha krov lamachus u'mishum arayas nami leka daha michu eres hi. She's not attractive. Ola Rav Idi. And according to Rav Idi, she's always subject to being violated. In fact, it's because of that that she's not going to get killed. And so therefore, her level of attractiveness, whether she's attractive or unattractive, is not going to affect whether or not she will be violated. She's always at risk of being violated. And she's never at risk of being killed. Her political clout will not have any influence one way or another. Okay, that is the Gemara as presented by Rashi. Okay, correct. Absolutely correct. Right. Okay. Tosfos. I'm just going to highlight some of the points here in Tosfos, and then we're going to go on in the Gemara. Look at the second Tosfos on the page. I know it's exceedingly large. And drop down in that Tosfos to where you have the period. It's about 12, 15 lines from the top of that. Tosfos, right after he says the words, Ad kan perisha kuntras. Right, he presents Rashi, we went through Rashi together. Vikasha. Chad de delisha de chashuv alo mashma yafe. First of all, my first objection, says Tosfos. Chashuva means beautiful. When did that happen? Where did that ever happen in the Gemara where the word chashuva means beautiful? Okay, objection number one. Va'od. Dechi eina yafe nami mai have. Right? And if she's not beautiful, have we ever in the Gemara made a distinction between a woman who is beautiful versus a woman not beautiful in terms of her being violated? Amrinam Bereish Pirkin. Tosa says, I'll go back 3 days in Daf Yomi. Chaviv alem behemtim sheyisrael yoser minishoseim. Kavachom alishoseim shal yisrael. Look, they're ready to have relations with animals. And, right, without trying to, you know, right, while trying to be dignified about this Gemara, right, Tosfos makes a good point. Meaning, for them, they're doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. So, there, Tosa says, okay, maybe my objection isn't that strong. Because, look, the animal is not going to give resistance. The woman is. Maybe it'll only be worth his time if the woman's beautiful. Okay, maybe there, my objection is not going to be so strong. Mi ukasha. Dele Rav Yirmiya. La mishtame tana o amar b'shum makum l'chalek b'shvuya ben yafe l'enu yafe. L'hatira l'kahuna. Look, go through Shas. Show me a place anywhere in the Gemara where once a woman is abducted, we're going to say, the Gemara ever said, well, it depends. Was she beautiful? Was she not beautiful? And Tosfos says, we never have that. Never throughout all of Shas do we ever have this idea, well, I know she was abducted, and I know we normally assume abducted women are raped, but she wasn't that attractive.
But the Chumash talks about a beautiful captive.
It's not that the Torah doesn't recognize beauty. Right. The Torah does recognize beauty, absolutely. But where does the halacha make this distinction between a woman abducted? Oh, don't worry, she's not beautiful, right? Probably her abductors didn't take advantage. We never find that, says Tosfos. Right? He's very strong in his language. Shum tana v'shum amora. We never find this. And all of a sudden, Rav Yirmiya in the middle of Avodah Zarah, who, by the way, never uses the word Yafa, right? That's not his terminology. His terminology is Chashuva. And then Rashi says, oh, we're talking about beauty over here. Tosfos says, I can't. That part I can't accept.
It's coming.
And the way Rashi explains the Nafkamina, it's all the same girl. Chashuv ve'ina chashuva. And Tosa says, I object to the language of the Gemara. The imkein hayolo lomer chashuva bein ha'anashim, ve'ina chashuva bein ha'anashim. It should have said it in one phrase. Umidika amar vishe'ina chashuva, ama tremilin inho. So it's with the conjunction of the vav, it sounds like we're talking about two different women. Okay, fine. Lekachnir de lefarsh. Okay. The Kachnir de Lafarish Devada Tre Milan in Uda de Kama Isha Klezaina La, La Mishum de Da Taila Bio Mishum Hachilo Katla La. So Tosa says, look, I don't like Rashi. Rashi says, you know what the Klezaina means? Klezaina means that because he's interested in her sexually, so therefore he won't kill her. He says, that's not what it means. Ela Tami Mimisha Ina Balas Melchamos, Umirivos, Kiish, Merachamim Aleha. Women aren't warriors. In other words, when we're talking about Shvichus Damim, I attack someone who is ready to attack me. I don't attack somebody who's passive and not aggressive. And, says Tosfos, women are not warriors. They're not aggressive. So therefore, they're never at risk of being killed. That's what Kli Zayna means. Kli Zayna, it also doesn't fit so well into the language, but Kli Zayna means that she's protected. She has a shield. Because her natural inclination not to wage war is also going to be that same thing that won't put her at risk of being killed. The Hachi Perusho. And so now, so first of all, so you see Tosfos explains Rav Edi differently than Rashi. It's not, I'm not going to kill her because I want to have relations with her, is that she's just not the kind of person I'm going to kill because she's not an aggressor. Fine. Now, let's go to the Nafkamina. Hachi perusho, ike benel, isha chashuva bein ha-nashim, krova la-machus, im muteros li-tsyachid im ha-nashim, ovde kochavim. Isha chashuva, says Tosfos, has nothing to do with her beauty. Right? As he dismissed Rashi. He is very dismissive of Rashi's understanding that beauty plays a role over here. Beauty plays no role in all this Gemara. Chashuva over here just simply means prominence, political prominence. The Rav Yirmiyahu asur liyisyache kedarma taima b'isha chashuva. Va'azlo nafiklan mida mishum shvichas damim ila mishum taima da arayos. So if it's prominence, so then she has a political clout. La Rav Edi Sharya. So if she's chashuva, so then she'll have full protection. She already will have a built-in protection from being killed, because she's not an aggressor, and because of her prominence, she also won't be violated. Usheina chashuva bein hanashim nami imhi muteres liyisyache bein hanashim ovdos kochavim ika benayu. What about secluding herself with other women, with non-Jewish women? De la Rabbi Yirmiya came and ika chashuva katlila de leis leitama de merachame. There is no reason for them to be compassionate about her. And according to Rav Edi, she's not an aggressor, therefore she's never subject to being killed. Right. What about, and Tosfos over here is, what about the husbands who come visit home their wives? The husbands may violate her. Tosfos says, we're not here worried about that issue. Okay? So it comes out, according to Tosfos, it's nothing to do with beauty. It's all about her political clout. And Rav Yirmiyahu and Rav Edi are arguing about, is she ever going to be subject to being killed? According to Rav Edi, never, because she's not an aggressor. Therefore, she's never subject to being killed. And according to Rav Yirmiyahu, no. There could be an occasion where she's not only at risk of being violated, but she's also at risk of being killed as well. That is how Tosfos understands the Rav Yirmiyahu, Rav Edi take. And again, what comes out very interesting over here is Rashi's Pshat in our Gemara, which, you know, obviously would be interested in defending, but it's a very unique and interesting, and Tosfos highly objects to this idea that we're going to make distinctions between women who are beautiful versus women who are not. Okay, let's finish up today's daf. Gemara gives us some basic defensive moves against Ovdei Avodah Zarah who want to kill us. First of all, says the Gemara, keep them to your right. Toflo liyamino. Right? Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka Amer Bisayef Toflo liyamino. If he's got the sword, so keep him to your right, right? Because the sword is girded on his left side, so that way you can stop him from taking the sword out. Bimakel toflo lismalo. However, if it's the stick, so keep him on your left hand side, so that way, because right, the stick is going to go to the right hand, and you'll have to stop that one. Haya olin b'mala or yordin b'yirida lo yeyisor lamata v'kochav l'mala. Never let him have the upper position. If you're going down steps, you're going up steps, always have the higher ground. Never give up the higher ground. Right? This is like martial arts over here. Ela yisrael lamala v'kochavim lamata. Okay? Make sure that he always has the lower position. V'ayasuch lefanav shema yarutz es gugol aso. Don't bow your head in front of him. He may crush your skull. Shalol lehechen holech. Let's say he asks you the question, where are you headed to? Where are you going? Yarchiv lo es aderech. Never tell him the correct destination. Tell him that you're going to go further ahead of where you actually are planning on going. Okay? So that when you get off your exit, he'll be like, wait a second. You weren't supposed to get off so early. I was planning on killing you later. In fact, we have precedent. So remember the dialogue? So Esav says to Yaakov, let's walk together. Yaakov says, no, I'm slow. I got a lot going on. I got family. I got a lot going on over here. I'm slow. You go ahead. I'll catch up to you. Right? Where are you going? Seira? Wait for me over there. Okay? And Esav did, and Yaakov never got to Seira. He stopped in Sukkos. Masa b'tamid Rabbi Akiva shayochel lechaziv. Gemara tells us two stories, and we'll end today's daf with two stories. The students of Rabbi Akiva went to Chaziv, pagu bahen listim, bandits, amalahem, la'ana tem hochim, where are you guys going? Amalahem la'ako. Well, we're going to Akko. Now, geographically, by the way, I'm a little lost over here. Chaziv, Akko.
North
of Akko. Good, oh, good. Oh, the Mishnah Gittin. Yeah. Right. Correct. Chaziv is right. Chaziv is at the most northern border. Good. So, Kevin Shigil, the Chaziv Pirshu. They get to Chaziv, and the students say, okay, bye, guys. So, Amalem Tamidimiyatem. So, the listim knew that they were outwitted, and they wanted to know who to give credit to. Who's your Rebbe? So, Amalem Tamidim Rebbe Kiva. What do you mean? Rebbe Kiva's a Rebbe. Amalem Ashri Rebbe Kiva Vitamidav, Shlopaga Mehem Adam Ra Me'olam. Wow. Wow. Your Rebbe's great. And the bandits, listen to how religious they are. The bandits gave them a bracha. You're right. You're so honored that you're students of Rabbi Akiva, and because of that, you have protection. Rav Menashe, story number two. Rav Menashe hava azo lebeit turata. The Rav Menashe went to this town, Pagube Ganve, and he came across Ganavim, thieves. Amrule la'an ka'azalt. And the question is, where are you guys going? Amar lahem l'pumpadisa. Now here I am so geographically lost. I don't know Pumpadisa. I don't know Tarasa. But you get the idea, though. Pumpadisa is a place further out. Oh, don't worry. We're going out to Pumpadisa. Kimata lebe Tarasa perish. And once they get to Tarasa, so they leave. Rav Menashe separates. Bye, guys. Amar le tamida de Yehuda Rama'at. You're a student of Yehuda Rama. You're a student of the tricksters. And he places a cherem. Azlu avdu genivtu esrim v'tartin shnin v'lo atzlichu. And they tried to bandit and to rob her, and they went 22 years, but because they were placed in this with this curse on this cherem, so they had no atzlacha. Imagine working, trying to do a job for 22 years and having no success. Kevin dechaza asukulu tavu shamtayu. And so they went back and they asked for a lift of the ban. Okay, strange story. V'avavu chad gardina delo asa l'shruye shamte. One of them, however, he was a weaver, and he didn't ask to be released from the ban. He, you know, he felt, I don't care. Achle Arye, he was eaten by a lion. Haina damre inshe. Now, the famous expression, famous not with us, but the famous expression, Girdana delo tizan shasa batsir mishne. Right? The weaver who doesn't ask for, who doesn't have any type of embarrassment, his years will be shortened. Okay, now we understand where the expression came from. Right now, as they say, now you know the rest of the story. Anyway, well, Gemara has one more note to end off today's daf. Tachazi ma ben ganve bava v'listim d'Eretz Yisrael. Look, by the way, at the difference between robbers out in Bavel and thieves in Eretz Yisrael. When the thieves in Eretz Yisrael were outmaneuvered by the students of Rabbi Akiva, they gave him a bracha. When the bandits out in Bavel were outflanked by Menashe and his students, they cursed, they were placed in cherem. Some of them didn't even want to get out of their cherem. It's a different kind of bandit. It's a different type of thief. Not like the thieves of Eretz Yisrael. Atkan. Everyone have a ksiva, ksima tova, chayim shalom la'altar. Rabbi Hanan Yemenekashem, Rabbi Tzikash Baruch, Lezak Yisrael, Ficha, Chir, Vemtar, Mitzvah, Shanem, Anecha, Ficha, Mansi, Koyak, Dutra, Rabbi Yadir.